Morning, everyone. This is the Florida Caribbean Show on WSLR 96.5 LPFM Sarasota. I'm your host, Paula Vice-Perez.
And I'm Jarena Durgy. We have a great show for you today, covering current events from Latin America, a live interview with Audrey Nix, and music featuring leading Latin American female artists. Coincidentally, today is also International Women's Day. So for our show, we will center around issues affecting women in Latin America and showcase women who fight to promote equality for people of all colors, genders, and races.
We also want to thank and recognize the amazing women in our lives by dedicating a verse to them by a prominent Canadian Indian poet, Rupi Kaur. She writes, "We move forward when we recognize how resilient and striking the women around us are."
Happy International Women's Day, everyone. And today we will start off the show with a female artist that's leading a musical group from Colombia that combines pop, swing, and gypsy jazz. The lead singer is named Catalina Garcia, and the group released their first song in 2012 called Swing Romanticon. They just won the 2015 Best New Artist at the Latin Grammys. So we hope you enjoy the song. It's called Swing Romanticon, and the group's name is Monsieur Perine. So welcome back to Florida Caribe. We hope that you enjoyed that song. We have a public service announcement inviting to broadcast on WSLR. So do you belong to a nonprofit organization? Do you have upcoming events or meetings scheduled? WSLR is happy to share messages from local, not-for-profit organizations with our listeners. Please send your announcement to psa@wsLR.org. We can't mention ticket prices, so please provide a phone number or web address where people can get more information. Another service to the community from WSLR, LPFM, your community radio station in Sarasota, Florida.
Peru declares a state of emergency after a devastating oil spill in the Amazon. Following the extensive environmental damage caused by more than 3,000 barrels of crude oil spilled into the Chiriacao and Morona rivers, the Peruvian government has declared a state of emergency for 16 communities in the Amazon. This emergency will stay in effect for 60 days and will force the district of Morona, Datem del Maran province, and other government agencies to come up with a solution. The first pipeline burst on January 25th because of a landslide, according to the BBC. It took Petroperú, the company responsible for the spill, 3 days to patch up the pipeline. There was another rupture on February 3rd, my dad's birthday, happy birthday, Dad, but the cause is unknown. Telesur has also reported news of a third oil spill in mid-February. While Petroperú works to contain the oil spill, Suachapí, Pacuns, Chiriacao, Nuevo Progreso, Nazareth, and Nuevo Horizonte indigenous communities have been affected. The damage to the water quality has caused another emergency to be issued for 3 weeks. Fish have died, crocodiles have died, plants have died, one woman told Canal N. How are we going to live? Petroperú has disturbingly been accused of using children to clean up the sludge. Germán Velázquez, the company's president, has denied these accusations, although contrary to his claim in late February, he was thinking about firing an official who may have let children clean up the oil. At least one 12-year-old boy reported he was paid 57 cents for every bucket of oil he collected. He was injured, and EFE reports that Petroperú will cover his medical bills. These types of accusations are not new for Petroperú. In 2014, there were also accused of hiring children to clean up another spill. Univision also adds that children who have been cleaning up the oil have been doing so without the right clothing or tools, putting them at great risk. Environmental regulator OEFA said that Petroperú could be fined about $17 million if it can be proved that the spills hurt people's health.
So we have a follow-up from our last show. Our last show, we covered a case in Guatemala where indigenous women were fighting to get justice for what happened during the Civil War. On February 27th, the Guatemalan Supreme Court ruled that two ex-military officers were guilty of sexual slavery against the Mayan Quechua women. Sorry for the mispronunciation. After 20 days of dramatic testimonies, the courts convicted that the two men of sexual enslavement of 15 indigenous women and forced disappearance of the women's husbands. Former military commissioner Heriberto Valdez will be jailed 240 years for crimes against humanity, domestic slavery, and the disappearance of the seven indigenous men. Paramilitary Lieutenant Colonel Reyes Giron was sentenced to 130 years for crimes against humanity, domestic slavery, and the murder of one woman and her two daughters. The representative of the women, Demencia Yak, stated that we were raped. All of this happened. If it wasn't like this, where are our husbands? We didn't know where they were. When the women heard the ruling, they cheered and raised their hands in the hand while keeping their heads covered and embracing each other. The court's ruling is the first time sex slavery was recognized as crime against humanity in Guatemala. Now, we have a different female artist by the name of Concha Buica, who is making waves in Europe and Latin America with her soulful voice. She's of Ghanaian descent and was raised in Mallorca, Spain, and is now living in Miami, Florida. She writes and produces music that mixes the sounds of flamenco, jazz, soul, and African polyrhythm. She connects the different places that influenced her through her life through her music and makes a transcultural connection to the shared experiences and rhythms of African descendants in Africa, United States, and Spain. So the name of the song is No Abre Nadie en el Mundo, and it's by Buica. We hope you enjoy the song, and we're about to play it right now.
Desde que el agua es libre, libre entre manantiales vive, jazmines han llorado. Comprendo cómo en tu
tus ojos, niña, solo hay desierto. Hermosa era la tarde cuando entre los olivos nadie vio como yo a ti te quise, como te quiero. Hoy los olivos duermen y yo no duermo.
So welcome back to the show. Wow, that was a beautiful voice. We have some more news stories from Latin America. There were two bodies of two Argentinian backpackers that were found on February 28th in the Pacific Coast region of Ecuador in a city called Montañita. Marina Menagazo, of age 21, and Maria Jose Coni, of age 22, were from Mendoza, Argentina, and they were traveling around Ecuador until they lost contact with their families on February 22nd. They found the girls with severe head traumas. Ecuador's Interior Minister Jose Serrano Salgado and President Rafael Correa said on a press release on social media that the country was in mourning. The minister reported that the two people were arrested in relation with the murders. The minister said that in a raid in the town of Montañita, quote, the belongings of the girls and the gloves with blood were found, whose owner confessed his involvement in the crime. Fingerprints were sent by the Argentine authorities to confirm the identities of the bodies. And this definitely raises a lot of attention on gendered violence in Latin America. CSS, today is International Women's Day. There was, you know, a poll and a report that came out with horrible figures of what's happening around the world and in Latin America against women, as in femicide and violence that's been unreported. So what do you think of this, Paula?
I think that it's very important, of course, to cover these types of stories. They're very sad, they're very somber, but these are not the things you hear on mainstream American media. There's a lot going on in the U.S. With violence and gender, but really it's time for us to look outside of our borders and look at South America and look at, you know, places where the violence is escalating and there isn't a lot going on to help stop it, and it's very quiet, and there's not a lot of people who know what's going on. And I think our theme for the show today is just women in Latin America, mainly the violence and the oppression that they face kind of behind closed doors, where we don't really know what's happening if we don't look into it.
And, you know, I think there is definitely a power behind silencing the voices of these women. There's a repression about that. And I think what we need to do as women who are living in the 21st century is to start a conversation about what's happening in not only in our cities, but around the world, and just raise awareness about issues affecting women today, and hopefully come together and be... and form solidarity and, you know, just work against issues affecting women. Personally, I'll be going to Ecuador very soon in May. And, you know, this new story definitely hit me on a personal level because, you know, I'll be traveling with my friends and we'll be doing a backpacking trip. So it's kind of scary that there's so much gender violence, but at the same time, it's not going to deter me from, you know, getting to know a beautiful country like Ecuador. However, we do, as women, have to keep an eye out for many different things that could happen to us. So we'll move on to our next story, which is about a woman, too. And this is a very sad story. Her name was Berta Cáceres. She was a Honduran indigenous rights activist, and she was killed in her town of La Esperanza in Tuvoca on Thursday, March 3rd. Although she was under police protection, she was killed at a house that was not under surveillance. Police say that she was killed in an armed robbery. However, activists and her family are calling her death an assassination. Cáceres won the Goldman Environmental Prize for her peaceful campaign that she led to stop the building of the Agua Zerca Dane, which would have cut off water, food, and medicine for an indigenous group known as La Lenca. Cáceres was working to stop the construction of an hydroelectric dam, another one in the community of near Gualcarque River, which would harden the life of the Rio Blanco community people. She was receiving threats for environmental activism. The Inter-American Commissioner for Human Rights called for the government to give her protection. The indigenous community she worked for released a statement saying that the Rio Blanco community and Berta Cáceres were receiving threats from peaceful action protests from a multinational Honduran company that was building the hydroelectric dam. In addition, on February 25th, members of the Lenca community were violently evicted, and their residents were destroyed. Her family members and various activists call her death an assassination. On Saturday, activists and members of her community buried her body. This campaign and her death show the perilous situation of indigenous communities and the environmental activists who are in conflict with the interests of large multinational companies. Global Witness states that 100 environmental activists were killed since 2010 in Honduras.
Along with that story, we have a lot of a very common theme of crimes against the indigenous people in Latin America. And I think we're already starting to see a little bit of a reformation in that sense where, for example, the Pope in Mexico for the first time spoke out against this violence against indigenous people. And he also mentioned, he did a mass in the indigenous languages of the people. And I think there's positive steps moving forward, but still a long way to go.
Yeah, definitely. But it's very interesting to see that connection, how these projects, these development projects, or these projects that are harming the environment, are directly harming the communities that live them. And I think we need to be conscious of how those projects are affecting the people that live in those communities. Her death was definitely a hit in the Latin American activist community, and it's started a conversation about the violence that environmental activists face in Latin America. It's one of the most dangerous professions to have. There's mortality, definitely a high mortality rate within those activist groups. So we move to our next story about Brazil. On March 4th, police conducted an early morning raid on the houses of Brazilian former President Luiz Inácio da Silva and his family members. The raid is part of an investigation on money laundering and corruption surrounding the Brazilian national oil company, Petrobras, and the ruling Workers' Party. Lula became president in 2002 under the Workers' Party. The party continues to be in power under the current presidency of Dilma Rousseff. Prosecutors are building a case that accuses government officials and Petrobras of funneling millions of dollars and money of goods through the oil company. The investigation has put dozens of politicians behind bars, as well as construction and company executives from Petrobras, for taking part in the corruption scandal. Although Rousseff and Da Silva have not yet been implicated, a member of the Workers' Party, Senator Delcidio de Amaral, has accused both leaders of being deeply involved in the corruption scandal. After his detainment and questioning, Lula stated that his detainment was disrespecting democracy and that the police wrongly accused him. Protests were held outside his house supporting the former president. However, there are also members of the Brazilian society who support the investigations against the Workers' Party and Petrobras. These allegations come at a time of impeachment efforts against Dilma Rousseff, economic turmoil, the Zika outbreak, and the preparations for the 2016 Olympics.
Moving on to a more lighthearted note, let's talk about Mexico's rising young literary talent, Valeria Luiselli. After the release of her novel, The Story of My Teeth, in early fall of 2015, Valeria Luiselli has garnered a lot of buzz as a talent to keep an eye on. The Story of My Teeth chronicles Gustavo Highway Sanchez's mission to sell and upgrade every one of his teeth, which he claims come from the mouths of Borges, Plato, and even Virginia Woolf. In January, the National Book Critics Circle named the 32-year-old a finalist for an NBCCA award, making The Story of My Teeth the third fiction piece in a foreign language to ever be nominated. She has lived in Mexico City, South Africa, India, South Korea, and New York City.
Okay, so we're going to move on to another great story, Latino story. The Oscars have been heavily criticized for being predominantly white-centric in its representation of winners. However, this year it has included a handful of Latin American winners. There was the best cinematography by Emmanuel Lubezki for The Revenant, the best director Alejandro González Iñárritu for The Revenant, the best animated short film for The Bear Story from Chilean director Gabriel Osorio and producer Pato Escala, and the best nominated feature Inside Out from producer Jonas River and director Pete Docter. Since we are covering issues that are affecting Latin American women today, we would like to introduce a Guatemalan hip-hop and rap artist that goes by the name of Rebecca Lane. She converts her poetry about feminism and violence against women into music in order to raise awareness, express her anger as a woman, and promote a transformation of our society. So this is a song called Mujer Luna by Rebecca Lane.
Patria, ni marido, ni partido. Así es como nací, así es como he vivido. Desde que mamá me parió a este mundo, mataron con rosado el color de mi rumbo. Pero mamá, a mí me gusta el morado, me gusta la poesía y la melancolía. No creo en cuentos de hadas ni en fantasía. No quiero ser de nadie, yo quiero ser mía. Yo me cuento un cuento cada mañana. Abrí mis alas, fui del paraíso con Lilith y niñas malas. No creo en nadie que arriba esté jugando. Soy dueña de mis actos, voy improvisando. Soy mujer, soy un ser lunar. Cambio como la luna, de blanca a oscura. Aprender a
de mujer me creen tierna, pero me dicen perra si en la calle enseño pierna. Más que esposa la gente anda buscando una sirvienta, mejor si calladita y con piernas abiertas. Yo soy fruta completa, no busco media naranja. No soy puta ni soy santa, soy lo que me da la gana. Aspiro a ser tratada como humana, es lo mínimo. De este delirio colectivo me emancipo, yo abdico. No asumo roles que estén preestablecidos. No te amo por tu sexo, sino por lo compartido. La libertad es cuando ya no hay etiquetas. El puño en alto para celebrar a las guerreras. Como en la montaña están las guerrilleras, como en el micrófono hoy están las raperas. Sobrevivientes de violencia, mamás solteras, hermanas feministas del planeta Tierra.
Just a quick promotion, PSA, Lainey Jones and the Spirits, Saturday, March 12th at 8 p.m. WSLR brings back Lainey Jones and the Spirits to perform at Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center on Saturday, March 12th at 8 p.m. Rolling Stones just named Lainey one of the 10 country artists you need to know. Her hauntingly beautiful voice and technical banjo prowess led her from rural Florida to sharing the stage with the likes of Alison Krauss, Sheryl Crow, and Lady Antebellum. Her fearless, hard-on-her-sleeve lyrics and Americana-infused arrangements create an enticing and infectious sound.
So now we're going to have... Hello, everyone. We're going to have another song by another female artist from Mexico. She's from Coatepec, Veracruz. She's a pop rock and alternative artist who's becoming a prominent artist in the indie scene in Latin America. She has collaborated with many artists and has won a Grammy for Best Latin Rock Alternative Album. Hasta la Raíz in 2015. We will play the song from that album. It's called Hasta la Raíz by Natalia Lafourcade.
Cruzando ríos, andando selvas, amando el sol. Cada día sigo sacando espinas de lo profundo del corazón. En la noche sigo encendiendo sueños para limpiar con el humo sagrado cada recuerdo. Cuando escriba tu nombre en la arena blanca con fondo azul, cuando mire cielo en la forma cruel de una nube gris, aparezcas tú. Una tarde subo una alta loma, mire el pasado, sabrás que no te he olvidado. Yo te llevo dentro hasta la raíz, y por más que crezca, vas a estar aquí. Aunque yo me oculte tras la montaña y encuentre un campo lleno de caña, no habrá manera, mi rayo de luna, que tú te vayas. Oh, oh, oh. Sobrevivido al caminar y cada segundo de incertidumbre, cada momento de no saber, son la clave exacta de este tejido que ando cargando bajo la piel. Así te protejo.
Yeah. vas a estar aquí. Aunque yo me oculte tras la montaña, encuentro un campo lleno de caña. No habrá manera, mi rayo de luna, que tú te vayas.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Photo Creative Show on WSLR 96.5 LPFM Sarasota and WBPV 100.1 LPFM Bradenton. So it seems like we're having a little bit of a technical issue with our interview with Audrey Nix. She's all the way in Puerto Rico. We've been trying to contact her for a bit. It's not going through, so we're just going to continue playing music and discussing the latest news on Latin America.
So we're going to introduce another artist. She actually had the chance to come and play for us in Sarasota a couple months ago. Her name is Badi Assad. She is from Sao Paulo, Brazil. She's a guitarist, singer, percussionist, and a compositor from Brazil. She has been able to mix jazz and world beats, and it's a beautiful combination. Comes from a very musical family. Her brothers are famous guitarists. She's Brazilian, but she's also of Lebanese descent. So we see that connection of like migrants coming to Latin America and making their influences in Latin America, and we see that mixing of sounds, which is beautiful. So now we were going to introduce a song by Badi Assad called Básica. I hope you enjoy it.
Calcinha pintada, cintinho dourado, eu fui viajar, ou de blusinha branca. Pelo maçã e amarelo eu saí pra dançar. De blusinha branca, ou de blusinha branca. Coração apertado, nego do lado, eu fui me vingar. De blusinha branca, oi, ou de blusinha branca. Ai, 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 desci a ladeira com a mão nas cadeiras e fui. Ser branco tins mais. Faz traje pro louvor, pra noiva, fru doutora, moda bem e vai. Fica difícil acompanhar, mas de luzinha branca eu vou a qualquer lugar. Moda bem e vai. Fica difícil acompanhar, mas de luzinha branca. De blusinha branca, calcinha pintada, cintinho dourado, eu fui viajar. De blusinha branca, oi, de blusinha branca. Uma flor na lapela, com uma saia amarela, eu saí pra dançar. Hoje de blusinha branca, oi, de blusinha branca. Coração apertado, um nego do lado, eu fui me vingar. Se é branco, tem demais. Faz traje pro louvor, pra noiva, fru doutora, moda vem e vai. Fica difícil acompanhar, mas de blusinha branca eu vou a qualquer lugar. A moda vem, a moda vai. Fica difícil acompanhar, mas de blusinha branca eu vou a qualquer lugar.
And we're back with some news. Latin America takes action on International Women's Day. Venezuela launched a new National Union for Women, while Chile announced a new women's ministry. Latin American women brought International Women's Day to life Sunday with a range of demonstrations, events, and initiatives. Venezuela celebrated the day by founding the National Union of Women to contribute and fortify the country's socialist ideals. Nicolas Maduro tweeted, "Hoy, 8 de marzo, nacerá la Unión Nacional de Mujeres como máxima expresión de la fuerza feminista para hacer el socialismo." Basically means, today's the day the Union of the National Union of Women is being formed for the most force in the feminist movement to continue with the socialist ideals. Also, Maduro called Venezuelans to respect sexual diversity. No one should hide who they are, he said, during a special Congress for women attended by 8,000 women from around the country, including the LGBTI community. In Ecuador, 100 graffiti artists from Colombia, Chile, Venezuela, and Ecuador contributed to feminist murals to denounce abuses against women. It follows Friday's announcement of a deal between the government and the UN to improve the lives of women. The street artists adorn walls around El Condado Golf Club in Quito with messages like, "Your mother is a woman," and "No more violence." The best four works, determined by famous graffiti artist Alvaro Cordova, will go on to paint on part of Quito's public transport. According to Cordova, the message of the event is the power of the woman to be free. Women's rights in Chile took a step forward with the formation of the Ministry of Women and Gender Equality. During a ceremony marking the worldwide event, Chilean President Michelle Bachelet said that 51.8% of the country's population were women, and that in every 10 homes, 4 had a woman as the head of the family. Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, supported activities for International Women's Day and expressed his deep admiration for all women. "Sisters, I want to tell you that I feel a deep admiration for you, and I ought to recognize again that you are the most honest and intelligent. For this reason, I trust in you to continue walking towards a better life," Morales said in a statement. Elsewhere, the United Nations organized a march in New York through the streets of Manhattan to demand gender equality and respect for women's rights. The mobilization, which ended up in iconic Times Square, called attention to the discrimination that women continue to suffer across the globe. This is just another expression of how people are really taking this International Women's Day to heart, especially in a part of the world where women's rights not only are not guaranteed, but are, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to be a woman in these parts, and people are recognizing that, world leaders are recognizing that, and realizing that there is something that needs to be done in this situation.
Yes, definitely. Now we'll bring another artist. Actually, we were supposed to have Audrey Nix do an interview with us, but due to phone troubles, as Paula said, she is not able to call us, so we're going to still introduce her music. She's a 20-year-old Boricuan, or Puerto Rican rapper. She lives in Trujillo Alto, that's what you said, and she has emerged in the island's rap scene as a premier woman, which is very interesting because usually Puerto Rican artists tend to be, it's a more male-dominated field, you know, reggaeton and rap, you don't have many women that are singing those musical styles, so she's definitely doing a lot of great work. Her new EP, El Nuevo Orden Volume 1, has hints of hip-hop from an earlier time and has been described as moody with beats and bars. So we're going to play the song called Veneno by Audrey Nix, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Veneno, 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 ve pedazo de ladrillo para construir. Mi camino del cual no me desvío. A donde vaya es problema mío, hijo mío. Y no me busques porque me desquito. Y este mundo es chiquito. Este mundo es chiquito. Tarde o temprano te encuentras a los que te traicionaron. Y de tu talento cuestionaron. Y ahora le demuestras todo lo contrario. Porque amigo y enemigo es lo mismo. Yo solamente ando conmigo. Atrás de lo que quiero, a ver si lo consigo. A ver si lo consigo. Este Versace, Versace, Versace. Como Drake amigo. Como Drake amigo. El dinero y el éxito y yo somos tres amigos. Ahora un poco contigo. Si te caigo mal, no es problema mío. Me, myself y todo mi corillo. Me, myself y todo mi corillo. Vivimos en highlight, tú vives en Lola. Ya estoy en la nube, que arriba y no sube. Ni aunque alas puse. Veneno mis besos perversos. Que le caiga el peso sobre los huesos. Como cada uno de mis besos. Dale con la venza, no una venganza. Gracias a tu mentira ahora tengo. Y gracias a tu carencia ahora tengo malicia. Y gracias a eso, con una serpiente jugo veneno. 24-7, 24-7. Con una serpiente.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Audrey Nix with Veneno. The next story we have today is about Latin American women who face lottery chances at life-saving health services. Access to potentially life-saving contraception and abortion can be a lottery for women and girls in Latin America, often depending on their ability to pay or the personal and religious views of a health worker, Amnesty International said on Monday. In a new report, the rights group looked at sexual and reproductive health care in 8 countries: El Salvador, the Dominican Republic, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina, Mexico, Peru, and Uruguay. Tragically for women across Latin America, receiving life-saving medical treatment depends on the goodwill of a health professional or the depth of her pockets, Erica Guevara Rosas, American director at Amnesty, said in a statement. This outrageous and utterly illegal lottery-style approach to healthcare is putting thousands of lives at risk, she said. Latin America has some of the world's strictest abortion laws, with 7 countries imposing total bans on the procedure under any circumstances. In most countries in the region, abortion is only allowed in cases of rape, incest, or if the life of the mother is in danger. The influential Catholic Church, along with evangelical churches, which say life begins at the moment of conception, are a driving force behind the region's strict abortion laws. Another reason is the pervasive cultural stereotypes that promote the role of women, first and foremost, as mothers, the report said. It cited the case of a pregnant 10-year-old girl in Paraguay who was denied an abortion in 2015 after she had been allegedly raped by her stepfather. In the Dominican Republic, 16-year-old Rasuara Hernandez died of leukemia in 2012 after doctors delayed her treatment because she was pregnant, the report said. Hernandez wanted an abortion, allowing her to undergo cancer treatment, but doctors refused as abortion is banned in the Caribbean nation. In the few countries where abortion is legal, such as Uruguay, women seeking an abortion still face obstacles as health workers use their right to declare themselves as conscientious objectors and refuse to perform the procedure, Amnesty said. Such attitudes can force women to undergo dangerous backstreet abortions, which were the cause of at least 1 in 10 maternal deaths in Latin America in 2014, the report said. Around 760,000 women each year in Latin America are treated in hospitals for complications linked to unsafe abortions. This all leads to the Zika virus, which is a very prominent issue in Latin America. The spread of the Zika virus linked to birth defects among children in Brazil has revived the debate about easing abortion laws in Latin America and the need to improve access to contraception, including emergency contraception. 1 in 3 women of reproductive age in Latin America who would like to use contraceptives do not have access to them, according to the UN Population Fund. So far, 4 countries in the region, Colombia, El Salvador, Ecuador, and Jamaica, have recommended women delay getting pregnant due to the Zika virus. This recommendation is not just absurd, it is insulting in a region where more than half of pregnancies are unwanted or unplanned, where there are extremely high rates of sexual violence, where the demand of contraception far outstrips availability, Amnesty report said. This issue of abortion, contraception in Latin America is very prominent, and the Zika virus is the watershed, like we've said before in past shows, to this issue. Zika virus will cause policy to change one way or another. It's causing political officials to not be able to hide from this issue anymore and to be forced to talk about it. It's something that needs to be talked about, and it's something that is important for women not only in Latin America, all around the world, and policy being made on abortion and just the viewing of women's bodies and women's rights in general.
Yes, and I think that's also something we have to deal with in the United States, you know, with abortion being such a talked about issue, pro-life or pro-choice in the current political environment, and with the elections coming up, it's something that we have to talk about because it affects women throughout the world, not just the United States, but here in Latin America and in Europe, Africa, everywhere. So now we will have another female artist. Her name is Ana Tujol. We actually introduced her last show, and we loved her music so much that we want to showcase another song that's called Anti-Patriarca, and this talks about the role of men and women and gender roles and breaking those stereotypes. So we hope you enjoy the song by Ana Tujol.
Cualquiera de todos depende de cómo tú me apodas, pero no voy a ser la que obedece porque mi cuerpo me pertenece. Yo decido de mi tiempo, cómo quiero y dónde quiero. Independiente yo nací, independiente decidí. Yo no camino detrás de ti, yo camino de la para ti.
Tú no me vas a humillar, tú no me vas a gritar, tú no me vas a someter, tú no me vas a golpear, tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a obligar. Tú no me vas a silenciar, tú no me vas a callar. No sumisa ni obediente, mujer fuerte, insurgiente, independiente y valiente. Romper la cadena de lo indiferente, no pasiva ni oprimida. Mujer linda que das vida, emancipada en autonomía, antipatriarca y alegría.
Protagonista de nuestra historia y la que agita la gente, la comunidad, la que despierta la vecindad, la que organiza la economía de su casa, de su familia.
A golpear, tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a obligar, tú no me vas a silenciar, tú no me vas a callar.
No sumisa ni obediente, mujer fuerte, insurgiente, independiente y valiente. Romper la cadena de lo indiferente, no pasiva ni oprimida, mujer linda que das vida, emancipada en autonomía, antipatriarca y alegría.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Florida Caribe Show. I'm your host, Paola Baez. And today we're going to implement a new segment to our show, the Florida Caribe Book Club. Today, we are inspired by very famous Latin American author, Sandra Cisneros, who wrote The House on Mango Street. Sandra Cisneros was born on December 20th, 1954, in Chicago, Illinois. Her novel, The House on Mango Street, about a young Latina woman coming of age in Chicago, has sold more than 2 million copies. Cisneros has received numerous awards for her work, including the MacArthur Foundation Fellowship and the Texas Medal of the Arts. She lives in San Antonio, Texas. Cisneros has explored many literary forms in her work. She wrote several collections of poetry, including My Wicked, Wicked Ways in 1987, which was well received by critics. She created an impressionistic portrait of life on the border between the United States and Mexico through a series of vignettes in Women, Hollering Creek, and Other Stories, 1991. Cisneros has received numerous awards for her work. Like I already mentioned, the MacArthur Foundation Fellowship in 1995 and the Texas Medal of the Arts Award in 2003. If you'd like to read her book, I'm sure you can find it at a library, Barnes & Noble's, House on Mango Street.
I mean, it's a very interesting book. I actually had the chance to read the book a lot of years ago when I was a young girl in middle school, and it definitely impacted me in many ways because the book, I related a lot with the book because of the journey that this young girl was going through and the different identities that she had to deal with as a Mexican girl, but at the same time living in the United States. So that Mexican-American identity or that Chicana identity. And then also this girl, as she was growing up, she dealt with things like sexual assault and, you know, developing like her first crush and, you know, beginning to write as a writer. So it's all these different experiences that I might not have had as her, but like I can relate to how she grows as a person and as a woman and dealing with, you know, that machista side of Mexican culture and dealing with different identities and perspectives and learning to become your own woman. And I think that's a journey that a lot of women go through, not only if they're migrants in this country, but, you know, just living in the United States. So Paula's going to actually talk a little bit more about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention the fact that the story takes place in Chicago is very important because we're spending time right now talking to you about Latin America and violence against women in Latin America, and it may seem a little bit out of your realm when you're living in the United States, but the fact that this story takes place in Chicago really shows how this is a universal problem. It happens in the United States. It happens everywhere, not just Latin America. But specifically, Latin American women are being targeted and are vulnerable. So, yeah, not just in Latin America, but also in the U.S., which is an important idea to remember.
Also, Chicago has a very interesting history because it's been a place, a loci for a lot of leftist movements, a lot of leftist immigrant movements, such as the Puerto Rican movement and also the Chicano movement. So it's something, definitely a book that will give you a lot of information and it will give you a different perspective about what life was like. And we're going to continue with another song by Manna. Actually, we're moving our perspective. So Paula is obsessed with this band, and so am I. And they're doing a tour throughout the United States, and we love them so much. They've been playing since the 1980s, and they're an amazing band from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Yeah, a little story about Manna, actually. I was born in Miami to two Puerto Rican parents, and my first language was Spanish, but going to public school made me forget all of my Spanish, and I just knew English. And then I realized around middle school that I probably should learn the language of my people. And the way I did this most effectively was just listening to Maná and looking up their lyrics and then looking up what the lyrics meant. And honestly, if I had to say, I would like to thank Maná for reteaching me Spanish. So now I'm bilingual and proud of it.
I actually have a question for you, Paula.
Go ahead.
This is a thing that I had to deal with. I actually was calling the Albanian consulate yesterday and trying to speak in Albanian. I realized that I've forgotten so many words. How do you feel about Spanish and, like, that identity? Are you Latina if you speak Spanish, or are you Latina if you don't speak Spanish?
I think that's a very complex question, and I was actually talking about this with my roommate, Alexa, earlier about how it's weird to think about identity in general, because my whole life, growing up in Miami, I knew everybody around me was from somewhere else, and everybody around me was basically Latino or Latina.
Yeah.
And so when I moved to Sarasota, being around a lot of people who aren't, I realized how Latina I actually am, how Hispanic people may call me and stuff like that. So I think identity is very... it's a very personal thing.
It starts with an I.
Right. It's identifying.
Something you identify
exactly,
as with.
Exactly. So I would say, yes, I'm Latina. I know, I say I'm Puerto Rican. I also think I'm American. I know English. And it's just the idea of biculturalism, multiculturalism is very complex, but interesting. And it's what I love about life.
Yeah.
It's just very...
and I think
exciting.
Identity is something that changes over time. And
exactly.
If you do get a chance to read The House on Mango Street, that's something that this young woman is dealing with. You know, she doesn't speak Spanish perfectly. However, she's living in this Mexican household. At the same time, she's at the influences of
of American culture, and it's she enters her house, it's Mexico, she leaves, it's the United States. So it's, she's crossing borders every single day in her life, and that's something that she has to deal with. So we will play the song Mariposa Traicionera by Maná. I hope you enjoy it. Florida Caribe, and while you're enjoying the song, we would like to send you a farewell. So
thank you so much for listening,
and we hope you have a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day in our sunny Sarasota, so enjoy it.
Also, quick shout out to John Dickman.
Yes, John, thank you so much.
The man, the myth, the legend. Thank you so much for all your help.
The man behind the mic.
The man behind the mic. That's him. Thank you so much again. Everyone have a great week. I'm Paula Baez.
And I'm Jarena Jer.
That was the Florida Caribe Show. Tune in next week. Tuesday, 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.